meeting is now being recorded.
All right, thank you, and welcome to the few people that are here right now. This is the CCTRT Competition and Consumer Choice Subteam meeting for August 9th, 2017. We have Jonathan and Dan on the call, in addition to myself, Jordan Buchanan, chairing the call, and a fairly modest agenda as well. But why don't we run through our topics so we can review the state of the recommendation updates briefly as well in, before we get to the end of the call, too. But in terms of formal agenda, we have a discussion of the .NET price increases. Wodo has put together some text that's been further edited a little bit by Megan, just reflecting the fact that .NET price, the .NET registry has been increasing its prices, at least in terms of the publicly announced price. We don't know whether or not there's promotional pricing going on that offsets that pricing. And Kylie suggested a further minor edit online, which is to take out the word significant, which seems reasonable to me. So the point of this section of this revision is simply to reflect the fact that does not, at least for .NET, it seems to be the case that VeriSign is both exercising its contractual right to increase the price cap, and then at least is updating, has also announced changes to the public, to the official sort of list pricing for the TLD as well. And so one of the questions that we had asked is in the original paper, as you can see in this language, is whether or not the introduction of new gTLDs had changed the pricing behavior of legacy gTLDs, or whether the price caps were still controlling. And at least here we have some evidence, at least, that the price caps are still a significant factor, or a factor, if we don't want to use the word significant per Kylie's suggestion, that are controlling or limiting the pricing of the .NET registry, at least. So I guess I'll just, we don't have Wodo on the call, but I guess wanted to see, Jonathan or Dan, do you guys have any feedback on these edits or the inclusion of the .NET price changes in the revisions to the competition section? Okay.
Jonathan has his hand raised.
No. Oh, Jonathan has his hand raised. Oh, this is very small. Sorry, I'm using mobile Adobe Connect again, and it's very hard to tell that. But yes, go ahead, Jonathan.
Yeah, it is. I've had to do that a few times too, and you almost needed to like flash a big pop-up bubble or something like that to say someone's raised their hand. I think this generally looks good. I guess the question is, and I confess I just don't recall, do we still have this discussion about the possibility that, I don't know what we called it, that the natural price is somewhere above the caps or something like that? That we've talked about it a lot, and I don't remember if it survived edits to the paper.
Yeah, I guess we should look at this in the context. Is it possible, Jean-Baptiste, to pull up the entire text in this section around page, I guess, page around page 46 instead of just this little excerpt?
Yeah, I can put the original report online, yes.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a look. at what we what the current language says. While Jean-Baptiste does that, I had a question for staff that I had raised on email. I don't know if anyone knows the answer to this currently, but do we know if any other registry operators that have price caps have increased the price caps, the capped price during the course of the, since the introduction of new GTLDs, so I guess since our end of 2014 timeline?
Definitely a good question.
Yeah, I know we have this. We did get a chart at some point of what the price caps were year by year, so I think someone can just look at that probably and see. I don't know where that chart is, though. Elisa, do you know where that the price cap information that we collected is stored? Is it on the wiki somewhere? We don't have Elisa for real.
Hi, Jordan. This is Brian.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me check on that for you. I'll coordinate with Alice and Jean-Baptiste and see if I can find those for you.
Okay, yeah, if you guys could just verify. I think there may it's possible I remember .biz also had the opportunity to increase prices or something. Maybe I'm totally wrong, but it would just be interesting. We should, if there are other registries that also increase their price caps, would be interesting to look to see if there's any evidence that they increase the price as well. We know that I think we have some evidence that VeriSign actually increased the list price in addition to just increasing the cap. So that would be good to see if we had similar behavior from other registries. Or this may be harder to get at, Brian, but maybe if staff has the ability to say, are there any registries that under their contracts could, like, had a mechanism to increase the price cap but chose not to? Does that make sense?
Right. Let me check into that. I don't believe there were, but that's just off the top of my head. Let me get you a better answer.
Sure. Okay, thank you. All right, now we have the original report rejected. So can we jump to, is this locked or can we scroll ourselves? Okay.
I'm on
page
46, but I can leave the navigation to everyone if you prefer.
I have no idea how that will work on my terrible mobile interface, so I think it's probably fine right now.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that okay like that for everyone?
Yeah. I'm just seeing if we can find
that's great. Thank you.
Jonathan was referring to. Yeah, so Jonathan, it's in the footnotes on this page.
Oh. Can you I can't see the footnotes.
In particular 101, I think. Which says, even if we could observe the wholesale prices the registries actually charged, if the wholesale price caps were binding throughout this period, i.e. prices were always at the caps, we would still be unable to observe the effects of new GTLD entry on the prices that legacy GTLDs would have wanted to pay because we would not observe those prices. It is possible the legacy GTLDs reduced their wholesale prices if legacy it is possible that legacy GTLDs reduced their wholesale prices below their respective price caps in response to new GTLD entry, although we have no evidence that this was the case.
Yeah, I guess it would want to have pay.
Right, so that basically does call out, like,
I mean, I guess I'm confess to not being a competition economist, unfortunately, but the write-up we have with this emphasis on pricing seems to suggest would provide fodder to people saying that competition hadn't been created. And I don't want to lose what seemed to be a discussion earlier about how this price cap might be creating an artificial price point that in and of itself distorts competition.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's sort of covered in 101, but I mean, I guess that's the, I think it's an important observation that they were willing to raise prices, but, I don't know whether or not that would allow people to jump to the conclusion that competition hadn't been created.
Yeah, well, I think mostly what it demonstrates, I think the fact that .NET is consistently increasing prices wherever they can mostly indicates that, gives us evidence that the price cap is probably binding right now, in that the natural price for .NET would be higher than the price cap.
Right.
But VeriSign's they're just not allowed to charge that much.
Right. So I mean, I think it's just more a question of phrasing it that way, maybe, right? That the natural price might be higher. Yeah, I don't know, right? I mean, because it's forcing the new GTLDs to try and price at those artificial levels to be competitive, right?
Yeah, but potentially at or below. Yeah, for the TLDs that are trying to compete based on price as opposed to quality of namespace.
Right.
That's right. They have to generally go in with very low prices, which is presumably why we see some TLDs going in with prices as, you know, 99 cents or something like that.
Right.
Which has an interesting tie-in with the, when we look at the correlation with abuse, potentially, with low prices. If the effect of the price caps is that you force more and more people to price really low, and low prices result in abuse, as opposed to sort of like a natural state of the market where, you know, it could be that TLDs would tend to want to price a little higher than the price caps allow them to do, you might actually end up with less. Well, I don't know if you would end up with less abuse, because the other thing we saw from the DNS abuse report is that the amount of abuse didn't really increase, right? It would just, but at the very minimum, if prices were higher, it's possible bad guys would have to pay more money, which might be, I don't know if that's a Pyrrhic victory or what, but, you would think that would have some effect eventually.
Right.
So I think you're right, Jonathan. So here's what I suggest that we do here is let's get the information from staff to see if there's anything other than .NET that we can talk about in this context.
Yeah.
And then maybe just try to do, I don't know, Jonathan, if you have time to potentially pull out the, I think we should just pull 101 up into the main discussion and put it in context to the .NET price change.
Yeah, I can.
To just sort of we think this is actually happening, and here, you know, we're not sure because we can't look into VeriSign's minds as to what the actual price they would want to charge is. But the limited evidence we have seems to be some evidence that it would indicate that the price cap is binding right now.
That's right. And then sorry, Jean-Baptiste, can you put the, or whoever is controlling this, can you put the Watto's graph back up again? I feel like just as you took it down, I noticed something that seemed illogical to me, but maybe I misread it too quickly. Okay. Moreover, although the new GTLD generally set whole prices above legacy GTLD price caps, it was estimated that those higher prices might have acted as a constraint on the ability of legacy GTLDs to increase their prices significantly if caps were removed. And I don't know that I find that sentence logical, that those higher prices might have acted as a constraint.
Right. Yeah, I think the phrasing before in this sentence is actually probably I would prefer. Maybe partly because I'm just reacting to passive voice as well. It was estimated.
Yeah.
I feel like we don't see...
Higher prices might have acted as a constraint.
I think you're right.
The fact that a price is higher doesn't feel like it would be a constraint. That's why I guess I'm confused. But I could take a pass at this. I wanted to just sanity check and have you put another pair of eyes on that to make sure that I wasn't missing the
logic. Yeah, no, I agree. That doesn't quite work for me either. So, yeah, I think you're right. But, yeah, if you can just take another pass based on today's discussion, that would be fantastic.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Dan, do you have any comments on this section?
No, I don't have any.
Okay, thank you. All right, so on the agenda we have further discussion of parking. I don't know, actually. I think the takeaway from the last call was that we're actually waiting for a set of revisions by some from Laureen and some from Jonathan on the parking paper. So I haven't done anything on the parking paper over the last week.
And Laureen has done some edits, and I've started to do some edits, but I guess I kept saying in the prep for this that it's not a competition issue. I think it's a plenary.
Sure, yeah, it's for the plenary.
Probably.
Call.
And the other thing I think we want to try and do with if we have John McCormick here as an observer, I think we want to try and schedule a call with him as well.
I think we could.
Another draft.
Yeah, okay.
So I think Alice is taking that on to try and get something scheduled with John.
Okay, sounds good. All right. This sounds good. So we'll skip over parking. So then, just to review, actually, before we do other things, I realized Dan sent out language revisions for three recommendations. So I was intending just to review the state of the recommendation edits that were proposed, but why don't we start with the ones that Dan sent out in the last 24 hours, since we actually have some new content there to talk about. So, Dan, do you just want to briefly walk us through the revisions that you've posed?
Okay. Should I present now all those three or just according to agenda 7 and 8?
No, you can. Why don't we just go through all three for the moment?
Okay. So in the recommendation 7 and 8, I actually wasn't sure what we meant by TLD sale. I was trying to find that, is there any definition of that in the report? So there's no some specific language of that. So I proposed some alternative definition, alternative term of TLD sales. And it is TLD registration number, data per TLD, and registrar. So enough data, but if you meant something different by TLD sales, we could add some different definition and keep it as it is, and add some additional sentence in recommendation or somewhere in report. I'm not sure, but what's your thought on this alternative language?
No, I like this. I think this is a lot clearer. It's a lot easier for someone to implement. I don't know if I could think of additional data that we might mean by sales unless we start to get into pricing again, which would complicate this quite a bit. So I'm supportive of this edit. Jonathan, do you have any feedback? Seems like no.
He says in a chat, looks good.
Oh, there we go. Looks good.
Okay. then recommendation
that's great. Yeah,
is moved to, and recommendation 8 is changed to from prerequisite to low priority level. It's based on comments. Also, icon organization asks for those two recommendations to be more specific in a way that they could prepare a budget and to be more specific what sort of data we're looking for. But at this moment, I'm not sure that we could find, that we could describe what are those data, because ICANN should ask, first ICANN should try to find some cooperation with organizations such as Center and another regional organization, and most things depend on that. If they are not willing to cooperate, or what sort of data they are willing to give, most of analysis depends on that. So in this moment, I think we are not able to give some specific definition and list of data.
Thanks, Dan. Now that you've laid out these recommendations right next to each other like this, it actually seems to me that it would make a lot of sense to just consolidate these two recommendations into one, with the option of using the partnerships and the related organizations just as a potential mechanism for accomplishing number 7, as opposed to a standalone recommendation in its own right.
That's pretty logical for me.
And then I think, as to your point about, I think you're right that it would make sense for them to first look at these, you know, potential third-party organizations to see what's there, and not necessarily, you know, have us prescribe exactly what it looks like, and then have the third-party information not be quite right, and then they have to sort of start from scratch. But, you know, one thing we could say, because I think my sense is that, I mean, this originally came from Stan, but my sense is that the methodology for the LAC study was something that we thought was helpful. And so something we could use specifically here is just say, you know, like, for example, by sampling who is data as the LAC study did, or something like that. That might be a way to, like, at least give the idea of, like, what we're looking for a little bit more specifically.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. So, Dan, could you maybe take one more pass at this and try to consolidate 7 and 8 and make that reference to the last study, LAC study, and then I think these are looking really good.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And then why don't, Jonathan, unless you have any feedback, we'll jump to number 12. All right, so let's, you want to talk us through number 12, Dan?
Okay. So this recommendation is moved to, from medium, to prerequisite. It was based on the few comments, and we discussed about that on the previous call. And additional sentence is based on ICANN organization request to be more specific in this recommendation, because all contracts and all policies has rule that regarding privacy that this issue will be dealt with the applicable law. But through our analysis and when we were looking at the policies of top 30 registries, we find out few unusual rules and unusual policies, and those registries has very specific clause that they have a right to share or sell personal data of registrants without their consent. And without any rule or applicable law. So my idea was to add some additional language in registry agreement and to be more clear that sharing or selling personal data is most extreme case of privacy violation is not allowed. So that's the point of this additional language in the recommendation. So.
Thanks, Dan. I have some minor edits, but I can suggest those offline via Redline. Okay. I did want to talk about the prioritization, though. I don't remember us talking about changing list to prerequisite, and especially given that we're now recommending those channels through a PDP, I would be really reluctant to make it a prerequisite because it basically means there's a new PDP needs to begin that hasn't even started yet and complete before we could allocate more GTLDs. And given that PDPs are binding on all contracted parties, whenever the PDP completes, this would come into effect regardless of whether or not the PDP completed before the next round. So my opinion, at least, is that the previous priority was probably correct. You're saying there were some of the public comments suggested this should be a prerequisite. Is that right?
Yes, it's from ALOC and few constituencies. Not few, since one besides ALOC. Not sure at the moment. But we can leave it. We'll have a problem to leave it in the media.
Yeah, I don't know. Jonathan, do you have a thought on this?
Sorry, I was on mute. I guess that's the question, is that, we need to just decide how we want to react to each of these comments. So the fact that somebody recommended that the priority change doesn't mean that we necessarily want to change it.
Yeah, well, I think in my mind, the importantly, like, oh, sorry, Dan, go ahead.
No, just that's true. No, nothing else. Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say, given that. On our last discussion of this, we talked with Dan about saying, like, how would we actually accomplish this? And we wanted it to apply to all of the new GTLDs and probably the legacy GTLDs as well, but certainly to all of the new GTLDs. And so we shifted from sort of saying, oh, this should be a requirement in the new guidebook, which, you know, you could make a prerequisite, like, that one would almost make sense to me as a prerequisite because it needs to go in the new guidebook if it's going to be effective. But since we've pivoted to saying, no, we think this should be sort of retroactive, and therefore it needs to go through a PDP, it seems like you probably don't need to make it a prerequisite given that change. So I think the first change, the change in the recommendation itself sort of makes it so it's I think not only unnecessary, but somewhat ill-advised to change the priority.
Okay, I'll leave it as a medium.
I mean, it might get done sooner as a medium.
That's also true. we'll see. all right, other than that, Dan, I will send you so just a minor wordsmithy edits here, but I think it makes sense otherwise. It's consistent with our previous conversation, too. All right, so Jean-Baptiste, can you pull up the list of action, like recommendations and who's assigned to do what? I know you have that little chart you emailed me.
Yes, I think it's currently in the agenda. I don't know if you see it on your phone,
oh, is it?
Jordan. Yeah. So recommendation 2 and 3 are assigned to you, 7 and 8 to Dayan, 9 to you again. Then there was recommendation 10 where there was a question whether this should be consolidated with recommendation 40 where you need to have a discussion with David. Recommendation 11, you and Megan. Recommendation 12, Dayan again. And recommendation 47, 48, Megan following edits that Jamie shared after the last plenary call. And finally, recommendation 50, Jonathan and Megan.
Right. Okay. So let's just run through the ones that are obviously in our section for the moment. So 2 and 3, I still owe an update, and I will endeavor to make that be sent out before the next call. I think that's just we're looking for language there. Then Dan's already given us a round of revisions, so that's good. I totally don't remember. What's recommendation 9? Is that parking?
Let me put that, I will put them on screen, so that's...
Okay. I think 9 is parking.
Okay, that's conduct a periodic survey of registrants. The survey should be designed and continuously improved to collect registrant trends. Some initial thoughts on potential questions is in Appendix F.
That's fine to me. That's weird. I don't remember volunteering for that. All right, I might, I got my hands full with the other things, so I might put out a call on the list and maybe suggest that Wodo in particular, see if he can pick this up since he doesn't have any of the recommendations at the moment.
Okay.
And then for 11, this is just the similar. I'll follow up with Megan and see what needs to be done there. And then on number 10, I'm waiting to talk with David. I don't think 10 and 40 can be consolidated. I don't think they're in the same topic area, but I don't think the substance of the recommendations is similar. But I'll double check that with data. With David.
Okay. Yeah, and if you can let us know the output of your discussion, that would be great. I tried liaising with David to see if he had anything to share on that, but I didn't get a reply.
Okay, yeah, I'll drop him a note and see if he has any thoughts. But I don't see a way to, I personally don't see a way to consolidate them. So unless he has an idea, then we probably won't. But I wonder if 9 and 11 could possibly be consolidated as well. So I'll suggest that on the list too. All right, that's all of the recommendations in our section actually. So. Looks like we're mostly waiting on me and then a new volunteer for number 9. And then the parking recommendations waiting for the edits from Jonathan and Laurie. All right. I think that's it. That's the last item I had on a in on the agenda. Is there any other business anyone else would like to discuss? Okay, I don't see anything. So we'll wrap up. Just a reminder, next
Jordan?
Week's call is shift. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, before we wrap up, I just wanted like to do a quick run-through of the different action items we have, just to be sure we are on the same site, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, so we have I can opt to share previous work made on price caps and confirm whether there was a mechanism for registries to increase price caps that the CCTRT did not use. Then we have Jonathan's revised page 46 documents based on what was it. Diane to consolidate recommendations 7 and 8 and revise the text based on your input, and also to revise recommendation text for recommendation 12. On recommendation 9, so Wado will be assigned with this one, and he has to look into revising it if needed. Recommendation 10, so that's you to liaise with David whether this should be consolidated with recommendation 40, and also you will look into possible consolidation of recommendation 10 with recommendation 9, and recommendation 11 you will follow up with Megan. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, so then I think we're at the... Oh.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about next week's call, I think.
Oh, yes, I was going to say. So next week's call, just as a reminder, has been moved to Thursday in the same time slot, mostly due to my travel schedule, so hopefully that works for folks. But I will be on a plane at this time in a week. All right, so look forward to discussing, and hopefully we'll get a few more folks on the call next week as well. In any case, looking forward to the discussion next week, and thanks for joining this week.
Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye.